The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 16, Text Number 18, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on August 29th, 2017, in Aheloy, Bulgaria.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tattva Sanatana Dharma Rakshyate Tanubi Tava Dharmasya Padama Guya Nirvikara Bhavan Mata Tattva Sanatana Dharma Rakshate Tanubistava Dharmasya Paramo Guhyo Nirvikaro Bhavanmata Tatta Sanatana Dharma Rakshate Tanubistava Dharmasya Paramo Guhyo Nirvikaro Bhavanmata Tvatta Sanatana Dharma Rakshate Danubhistava Dhamasya Parama Guhyo Nirvikaro Bhavanmata. Tvata, from you. Sanatana, eternal. Dharma, occupation. Rakshyate, is protected. Tanubhi, by multi manifestations. Tava, your Dharmasya, of religious principles. Padama, the supreme. Grahya, excuse me, Guhya, objective. Nirvikara, unchangeable. Bhavan, you. Mata, in our opinion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. You are the source of the eternal occupation of all living entities. And by your multi-manifestations of personalities of Godhead, you have always protected religion. You are the supreme objective of religious principles, and in our opinion, you are inexhaustible and unchangeable eternally. Report. The statement in this verse, Dharmasya Paramo Guhya, refers to the most confidential part of all religious principles. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion of Lord Krishna in his advice to Arjuna is, give up all other religious engagements and just surrender unto me. This is the most confidential knowledge in executing religious principles. In the Bhagavatam also, it is stated that if one does not become Krishna conscious, after very rigidly executing one's specific or specified religious duties, all his labor in following so-called religious principles is simply a waste of time. Here also the sages confirm the statement that the Supreme Lord, not the demigods, is the ultimate goal of all religious principles. There are many foolish propagandists who say that worship of the demigods is also a way to reach the supreme goal. But in the authorized statements of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, this is not accepted. Bhagavad Gita says that one who worships a particular demigod can reach the demigod's planet, but one who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead can enter into Vaikuntha. Some propagandists say that regardless of what one does, he will ultimately reach the supreme abode of the Personality of Godhead. But this is not valid. The Lord is eternal, the Lord's servitor is eternal, and the Lord's abode is also eternal. They are all described here as sanatana or eternal. The result of devotional service, therefore, is not temporary, as is the achievement of heavenly planets by worshipping the demigods. The sages went into stress that although the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, says that he worships the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, actually the Lord is worshipable not only by the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, but also by the demigods. So there's a popular saying in America, all paths lead to the same goal. In India they say, yatama tatapa, as many paths, as many opinions. This idea that all
paths...
This idea is completely bogus. Krishna says you worship the demigods, you go to the demigods, you worship me, you come to me. There's a difference.
Кришна казва, че ако някой обожава половете, отива при тях, а ако обожава него, се връща при него. Има разлика.
As you sow, so shall you reap.
Каквото посееш, това ще пожънеш.
Wherever you put your energies, that's what you're going to get.
Там, където вложите своята енергия, това е което ще получите.
If I told you that every road in Sofia, in Bulgaria, went to Sofia, would you think I was crazy?
Ако ви кажа, че всеки път в България води до София, няма ли да си помислите, че съм луд?
I would be a nut if I said such a thing. All the roads of Bulgaria lead to Sofia. They don't. But yet when someone says all paths lead to the same goal, then people say, oh, very great philosophy. Shows you how foolish the people are, you see. You can worship Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, anyone, whoever you like, and you'll become spiritually perfect. So the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita make it very clear. Do you want to reach the supreme goal? You have to worship Krishna.
Yeah.
You have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we Krishnites, we've understood this. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to
Krishna.
So now we have to take it seriously. If we've understood the truth, now we have to live the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand the truth, you don't live it, then your understanding will go away. But if you act in terms of your understanding, then your understanding will grow. You become self-realized. It won't just be theoretical, it'll be practical. Not only will you understand how Krishna is everywhere, but you'll be able to see how Krishna is everywhere. You see. So it's very important we learn how to act, always act in terms of this knowledge. But where does action begin? Where does action begin? Action begins with your thoughts. So if you can just train yourself to always think properly in terms of the scriptures. To always see everything, have that perception of seeing everything through the scriptures. then naturally your voice, your words that you speak will be very Krishna conscious, and you'll act in a very Krishna conscious way. So we really have to purify the minds, you see. That's where it all begins. The mind is absorbed in matter or spirit. These rascals, they say, you just have to turn off your mind. Even there was a Beatles song like that. It went, turn off your mind, relax and float downstream. Turn off your mind. And everyone thought, oh, very good philosophy. The hippies say, yeah, cool, man, cool. Gotta turn off my mind, make it all void, you know. But there's no such thing as void, actually. It's just a concept. Even void is something, it's a concept. So even void is something. There's no such thing as nothing doesn't actually exist except as a concept. So this idea to turn off your mind is very impractical. Someone may think, okay, I'm going to turn off my mind. Got to turn off my mind, turn off my mind, turn off my mind. But they're thinking, I have to turn off their mind. So they haven't really turned it off because they're thinking about turning it off. You can't really turn off your mind, you see. It's called voidism. It's an artificial philosophy. So, why are they attracted to the philosophy of turning off the mind? Because they're miserable, that's why. There's so much misery that they just want to turn it off, you see. It's called spiritual suicide. I'm so miserable I can't stand it, so I just deny my existence. I was also thinking like that myself previously. I even wrote one song and went, hey, I'm so unreal, I don't really exist at all. The hippies loved it. It was a big sensation. The hippies went wild on that song. I sang it one day. I sang one day in a concert between the Jefferson Airplane and the Grateful Dead. I sang that song at a big concert in Golden Gate Park, and the hippies went wild on that song. Hey, I'm so unreal, I don't really exist at all. But how stupid it is. How can I sing? I don't really exist at all if I don't really exist at all, you see. I'm standing there playing the guitar and singing, say I don't really exist. So this philosophy is artificial, it doesn't work. It may give you some temporary, you know, so-called relief, but it doesn't give real relief. You can deny, but if you want to deny everything, you have to ultimately deny denial also. See, in India they have that philosophy, neti, not this, not that. They want to negate all material things. It's not, the absolute truth is not this, it's not that, just negate. But once you've negated everything in the material world, there's still one more thing left to negate. And that is the act of negation. Finally, you have to negate negation also. You can't go on negating. You have to reach a point where you negate negating. That's the perfection of negation, to negate negation. So when you negate negation, then what's there left? You have to embrace something which is substantial, transcendental. Therefore, Prabhupada said, our philosophy is substance. The personalists, they say, reality is insubstantial, it has no substance. But our philosophy is substance. Reality is substantial, you see. There's something there, it's not nothing, there's something there. So what is that something? Human life means to inquire, what is that something which is the substance of reality? Tato Brahma Jagyasa. Now is the time to understand what is the Absolute Truth. So these rascals, they say there is no Absolute Truth. But we ask them, are you absolutely sure? They have to say, well, we can defeat them easily, you see. When they say there's no absolute truth, they say, well, are you absolutely sure? They can't say yes, because then they're contradicting themselves. So therefore they're defeated, you see. These voidists, mayavadis, impersonalists, they're all defeated. Vaishnava philosophy defeats all these radical philosophies, you see. Therefore this is the philosophical Mount Everest. This is the topmost knowledge. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion, and it's joyfully performed. Do you understand these points? I'm asking the boy under the table. Do you understand these points? Does it make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Then you hear carefully. You focus very carefully. Youth is meant for education, not for running around chasing in butterflies. You also, you see. Youth is meant for education. So the more you can tune in and turn on to this knowledge, you become a powerful, successful person. So don't cheat yourself in your youth just by running after butterflies or bubblegum or whatever. You become very keen to realize the Absolute Truth. You see? That's why you exist in a human body. The animals, they run after sense gratification. But you have a human body. Therefore, you're meant to use it for self-realization. From the very age of 5 years old, they've been in Vedic system, at the age of five, they've entered the Gurukula. 5 years old, they entered Gurukula. So don't say, I'm too young for all of this. This is only for adults. Don't make that mistake. I can see you're older than five. What is your age? 11. So for the last 6 years, you should have been studying this in great depth. But you haven't been. Therefore, you got to make up for it now. I'm giving me your full attention. Right, come sit in front. All the way, sit up here in the front, yeah. Okay. Come further. Yeah. And the Upanishad means sitting close. Upanishad means sitting close. So a disciple likes to sit close to the spiritual master. I always would do that. When I had a chance, I would get as close as I could to Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to Atlanta, there was like 300 devotees there. It was packed. But I would get right by the... Prabhupada would be sitting here on the Vyasasana, I'd be right here beside the Vyasasana. And it really paid off also. Because some scientists came to hear Prabhupada. Dr. Wolf from Germany. And Prabhupada said, somebody get him a chair. You can't ask an elderly gentleman to sit on the floor, an old elderly gentleman from Germany. So Prabhupada wanted someone to get him a chair. And all the devotees are looking, where's a chair? Where's a chair? They looked out in the hall. No one could find a chair. But I was standing by the Vyasasana. And I looked behind the Vyasasana. I couldn't believe my good fortune. There was a chair behind the Vyasasana. And I was the only one who saw it. No one knew except me. So I grabbed that chair and I told the devotees to move because it was packed out. I went like this, you know. Everybody had to clear a way for me. So I brought the chair to Dr. Wolf. And that way I served Prabhupada's order. Nobody could do it except for me because I was close to the Vyasasana. I saw that chair and nobody else saw it. I had another interesting experience close to the Vyasasana. Because as a young devotee, I was very envious of those who got to be close to Prabhupada. Some devotees traveled with him, his servant, his secretary. They traveled with him full time all over the world. And boy, was I envious. So anyway, I was standing by the Vyasasana on the right side. And Prabhupada's servant, Shutakirti Prabhu, he was on the other side of the Vyasasana. He was the object of my envy. So I looked across Prabhupada's lap. Prabhupada's right between us, you see. I'm looking across Prabhupada's lap over at Shutakirti Prabhu. And it was so amazing. He just gave me the most beautiful, loving smile you could ever believe. It was so beautiful. It was so full of love. It was like he was a mirror and all Prabhupada's mercy was bouncing off Shutakirti and hitting me. And my envy just melted away. I never forget how he gave me that loving smile. He wasn't puffed up thinking, yes, I'm Prabhupada's servant, you're just some scum brahmachari. He wasn't thinking like that. He wanted to share the mercy he was getting with me. He wanted to share it with me. He's getting so much mercy being Prabhupada's servant. He wanted to share it all with me by his loving smile. So I got that because I was sitting close to Prabhupada. So getting close to the spiritual master, that's a very good principle. Of course, you shouldn't be so close that you're getting in the way of his service. Everybody wants to crowd into his bedroom and he can't do any his writing or something like that, not like that. And you have to give him room to do his service also. So this Krishna consciousness process is a very special thing. Are you listening now to me or your mind's going somewhere else?
He was just spacing out a little.
He was spacing out again?
Spacing out a little bit.
Yeah, don't space out. Tune in, turn on, and bliss out. If you tune in, it'll turn on your consciousness and you'll bliss out. You
see?
But when you're not tuned in, the modes of nature will get you. They will drag you down into misery. So you want to be miserable, you want to be blissful. Then you better tune in. And stay tuned in. Because this channel of Krishna, this is where you'll taste unlimited bliss. You have to tune in, stay tuned in. So then any questions? You can try to answer, yes.
Disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj that these deities that you have Radha Damodara.
Questions pertaining the class, please. That's what you have to learn.
So Maharaj says you ask questions pertaining to the class.
Гурмат каза, че въпросите трябва да се отнасят до лекцията.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. Мой въпрос е такъв. Много често опитвайки се да слушам и бъдейки така да се каже в някакво екстатично настроение, дълбокото ума ми избълбуква. Не много красива мисъл, понякога оскърбителна. Какво трябва да правя? Аз се потискам, но тя вече е развалила настроение, развалила едно нещо.
Sometimes when we try to hear very attentively from within our subconsciousness comes some disturbing thought which is not very pleasant and it pops up in our consciousness. Then what to do?
What to do when all kinds of dirt comes rising up in your consciousness? Flush it.
Трябва да отмиеш.
When you pass stool in the toilet, what do? You flush it, right? When you have stool in your mind, flush it. And you want to relish, when the stool is there in the toilet, you want to look at the stool and relish it? Flush it, get rid of it. So the mental garbage comes up, just flush it, get rid of it. If you try to enjoy it, you're like a hog. The hog is a stool eater, you see. The hog thinks, oh, very nice stool. So don't be like a hog. When you have a lusty thought, an angry thought, a greedy thought, just flush it. Get out of here, you rascal thought. You're not welcome in my mind. My mind is only for Krishna. No more nonsense. You gotta be tough with your mind. What did Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur say? In the morning, beat your mind with shoes 100 times. At night, beat with a broomstick. So that's the heavy approach. There's also the light approach as well. Bhajahure mana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanada Vindare. My dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Baba. So you can beat the mind or you can also pat the mind. Whatever works, you know. But you gotta flush that stool out of your brain. Flush it. Krishna is already there. Did you know that? Krishna is already present in your mind because he's present everywhere. So to remember to be Krishna conscious is not difficult. Because you're already Krishna conscious. You just have to get the dirt out of the way which is blocking it. That's all. You're already a pure devotee of Krishna. Only the dirt is blocking it, that's all. You're already a Paramahamsa. You're already one of Krishna's eternal associates in his divine pastimes. So you just have to clean away all that dirt, which is making you think you're an old man, you're a Bulgarian, you're this or that. That's not you. You're not that body. You're an eternal associate of Krishna and his divine pastimes. You just have to flush out all that garbage. That's all. And what's the flushing mechanism? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, good point. Yeah, it's a good training. Once you learn how to ask questions related to the class so that you hear the class instead of thinking, I have a question about this or that. No, you hear the class and then you can come up with questions based on the class. Very good point. Thank you. Next. Yes. What she said?
In the purpose, Srila Prabhupada mentions so-called religious principles. What does it mean, so-called?
Let's see. Where is it? In the
commentary, Srila Prabhupada казва, че така наречени религиозни принципи, какво означава това така наречено?
Yes, here it is. If one, in the Bhagavatam also it is stated that if one does not become Krishna conscious, after very rigidly executing one's specific religious duties, all his labor in following so-called religious principles is simply a waste of time.
Казва се, че в Бхагаватам също се утвърждава, че ако някой много стриктно изпълнява предписания си религиозен дълг, но въпреки това не успява да развие съзнание за Кришна, всичките му усилия да следват така наречени религиозни принципи са загубено време.
Any religious process which does not bring you to pure love of God is so-called religion.
Всеки религиозен процес, който не води към чиста любов, е така наречена религия.
Just like the Christianity that I was taught as a little boy.
Както християнство, на което ме учиха като малък.
I was taught to pray to God to fulfill my material desires. That is so-called religion. Christ didn't teach that. Christ taught pure bhakti. But what they call Christianity nowadays is not the Christianity taught by Christ. It's not real religion. It's so-called religion. What is actual religion? Religion is a word in the Latin language. It means to reconnect. Religio, it comes from the Latin word. Religio means to reconnect. So real religion is what connects you with God. We become connected with God through surrender to God. If you're praying to God to fulfill your material desires, you're staying connected with your material desires, not with God. You're asking God to serve you. Dear God, I want this, 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 this. Do you want me to believe in you? You have to give me everything that I want. So that is so-called religion. Real religion is what actually reconnects you with God, and that is surrender to God. Next.
Krishna Бхагавад Гита, че всеки следва моят път във всяко едно отношение. Каква е разликата между това и всички пътища и ятамат път?
Кришна says in Bhagavad Gita that everyone follows his path in all respects. So what is the difference between this and yatamata?
Some people are falling in the wrong direction.
Някои хора следват погрешната посока, значи същия път, но погрешната.
They're going the wrong way on the path.
Те вървят в другата посока, по грешната посока.
Some like to hold the nose straight and some like to hold like.
Yeah, there's also the two ways to touch your nose. You can touch it this way, you can go. That way. So everyone's connected with Krishna. That's about. But most of them are connected with his external energy. Just look at it this way. Everybody is serving the state, isn't it? Here in Bulgaria, everybody serves the state, don't they? The law-abiding citizens, they serve the state. And the criminals also serve the state. In the prison, they're forced to follow the laws of the prison. So everybody is following the state of Bulgaria, some by force and some voluntarily, you see. The free citizens are following voluntarily and the criminals are following by force. So in a similar way, everyone is following Krishna. Those who are voluntarily serving Him, they're the devotees and they're full of bliss and they're going back to Godhead. And there are those who are serving involuntarily, they're being forced to get old, sick and die. They're being dragged by the modes of nature. They're forced to serve the modes, which is Krishna's external energy. So everyone is serving Krishna, directly or indirectly. They're not serving Krishna, they're serving Maya. But Maya is Krishna's energy. So that way they're serving Krishna indirectly. You understand? Next.
Започваме тръгното служене първо с ума. Обаче виждаме, нали, в Нектара на Прадамниста, Шилпапа Прияш Друпа Госвами каза, че нали, добре да започнем с езика. Как нали, трябва да се опитаме с ума да се борим или по-добре да ангажираме другите си с това, като примерно ушите да слушат езика, да възпява, нали, ръцете там да извършат тези дейности. Къде да насочим нашите усилия? По-скоро върху ума или с другите сила да отдаваме там
всъщност? You mentioned in the lecture that devotional service starts with the mind, but also we have this verse where it says that devotional service starts with the tongue. So his question is, where should we put our efforts to engage our
mind? Your tongue is a reflection of what's going on in your mind. Isn't it? Does your tongue influence your mind, or does your mind influence your tongue? Something happens on your tongue, and then your mind follows along with it, or your tongue is a reflection of what's going on in your mind. So it does begin with the tongue. But the tongue, the properly engaged tongue, and that is a reflection of what's happening in your mind. But then the other way is this. But if your mind is not controlled, you can't fix it on Krishna. But you're able to keep your tongue going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Then you can force yourself by your intelligence to keep the tongue vibrating Hare Krishna, then your mind will gradually become Krishna conscious because your intelligence is higher than the mind. And it engages the tongue in chanting Hare Krishna so that the mind's forced to be Krishna conscious. That's also a way of seeing it.
Mm-hmm. понеже интелигентността е по-висша от ума, ти можеш с нея да накараш езика да повтаря на Хари Кришна Махамантри и така постепенно и ума ще и той ще се.
So it does begin with the dumb, in that sense. Even though your mind is not fixed on Krishna, you intelligently engage your tongue in chanting at least 16 rounds a day of Hare Krishna, and then gradually your mind learns how to be fixed on Krishna because the mind, the intelligence is keeping that tongue vibrating Hare Krishna at least 16 times rounds a day. So, conquer your mind, conquer your tongue, engage your intelligence properly by understanding who is Krishna, who am I, and then acting, thinking, and speaking accordingly. That makes sense? Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here and we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Radhastami Mahotsava ki jai.